550 CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A deadly construction accident in Boise. An aircraft hangar being built at the Boise Airport collapsed. Three people killed, nine more injured. Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
There was a large-scale collapse of the building, the framework of the building. I don't know what caused it, but I can tell you that it was a pretty global collapse that occurred. The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
Of the nine people injured, five are on hospital critical lists. Voting 357-70, the House passed a $79 billion package of tax cuts, expanding the child care tax credit, but not at pandemic levels, and restoring three corporate tax cuts. In Manchester, New Hampshire, a woman putting out her trash fell into the dumpster, which was promptly dumped into a garbage truck. Neighbors heard her screams. There was a camera in the trash compartment. The woman was rescued. This is ABC News. The problem? Is getting worse.
Why people do it is often not clear, but the phenomenon of people shining lasers at airplanes is a growing problem. The FAA out with new numbers showing it received over 13,000 reports from pilots of having lasers shined at them, a 40% increase over 2022. Since 2010, there have been 313 injuries from laser strikes. Getting caught shining a laser at an airplane or helicopter can be an $11,000 fine plus criminal penalties. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The simple explanation, winged insects are simply inexorably drawn to bright lights. In reality, it's not that simple. The new study suggesting that artificial lights at night may actually scramble the bugs' innate navigational systems, causing them to flutter in confusion around porch lamps, street lights, and other human-made beacons. For the study, researchers attached itty-bitty sensors to moths and dragonflies in a laboratory to record motion capture video of their flight. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a big year for the Fox Cities Chamber.
Everything we do will have the 150th incorporated in it.
Chamber Executive VP of Marketing, Laura Wiegert, joined Mino and the mayor to celebrate and share some history.
There was a Menasha Chamber, a Nina Chamber. They merged. The Appleton-Nina-Menasha Chambers merged in 1976.
Wiegert says events will be happening all year to take a look back at the Fox Cities and look forward to more success for the area.
We just want to tell our story. For us, that's a big
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Because as the mayor said, people just don't know what chambers do and who they are, and we want people to know how we impact the community.
Congratulations on 150 years. You can learn more about the anniversary at foxcitieschamber.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Every year for the next 400 years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hire a new defensive coordinator. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Matt LaFleur putting out a statement. He has hired Jeff Hafley, age 44, head coach of the Boston College Eagles, to be the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Hafley's originally from New Jersey, played wide receiver in high school and a small college, had secondary coaching stints at Rutgers and Pitt, then got into the NFL, where he's a secondary coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. After that, 2 years as a co-defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, then in December of 2019, hired as the new coach in Boston. Matt LaFleur says, we are excited to welcome Jeff and his family to the Packers and the Green Bay community. He's had success at every stop of his coaching career and an impressive track record of developing players at every level. We look forward to Jeff leading our defense. NBA, Bucks in Portland against the Trailblazers tonight. Again, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator for the Packers, with sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see patchy fog developing in the overnight, partly cloudy skies and lows right near the freezing mark, so be wary of some slippery spots first thing Thursday morning. Otherwise, plenty of clouds across the area, highs in the upper 30s close to the 40-degree mark, record highs possible, currently 35 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom here with me, glorious Madison, Wisconsin, WMDX 92.7 FM Studios. Happy hump day, Dom.
Hey, happy hump day, Crudy. Great to be in Madison again. Good to see you, Nate. And welcome to our fair audience.
Dom, here's where I want to start today. The pettiness of the GOP. How can they be so freaking petty? You recall when our governor, Tony Evers, Democratic governor here in the state of Wisconsin, when he first crushed the wanker back in 2018, we the people, great state of Wisconsin, we, all the Badgers, at least enough of us,
the majority of us,
chose Tony Evers over Scott Walker.
A great decision.
And what did the Republicans do immediately?
Immediately tried to take power away from the incoming governor.
The lame duck, right?
Yep.
Not only the governor, they also took power away from the attorney general, great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. Let's not forget, a Dem got elected to the attorney general seat as well. So, Tony Evers, through the power of the veto, has a tremendous power here in the great state of Wisconsin.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
But Republicans, in all their pettiness, they don't like the fact that Tony's been using that veto pen, that Frankenstein veto pen.
Very successfully.
To change a few of their wants.
Yeah.
A few of their budgetary items, Dom.
A few million more towards education, I believe, one of the budgets.
Well, that and the 400-year extending, right. That apparently rubbed a few in the Republican chamber a little bit wrong, Dom. So as I see things, the gerrymander, perhaps soon to be undone by the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
We can only hope.
New maps supposed to be here by March 15th.
Well, Governor Evers did veto the Republicans' revised Evers maps.
Well, they threw that crap on his desk and he vetoed it, right?
Oh, it was Robin Voss said, the assembly speaker. Oh, it was minuscule, very, very slight changes, but it was not Tony Evers' map.
But what did they propose today, these very same Republicans? But they're minuscule changes.
Yes. Jesse Apoyan over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting Republicans propose constitutional amendment to further curtail the governor's veto powers.
So in other words, they want to hamstring this guy.
It bothers you. I'll take care of him. What you got to do to this man is this. You cut the hamstring on the back of his leg right at the bottom. He'll never play golf again.
One veto too far. He vetoed the 14-week abortion ban.
Yes.
He vetoed this ridiculous map. Ridiculous only in the timing. You know, had you accepted Tony Evers' map and not appealed
first
to
place,
the U.S. Supreme Court,
we wouldn't even be
time,
having this conversation.
Sure, we'd have decided maps.
Right.
But to bring it up now and expect the governor to just take your minuscule changes to his former map because it ain't his current map, well, of course, Tony vetoed. So these very same Republicans, they came out today and they're going to stick it to the man. They're going to hamstring his ass, Dom. He will slice everything into the woods. Tony will quit this sport. That's their hope. Wisconsin Republicans today revived, Dom, an effort to hamstring, I mean to restrict, the governor's veto powers. This time after Democratic Governor Tony Evers used his partial veto authority in July to increase funding for public schools for the next four centuries. Now, that did seem like an excessive timeline, but, you know, when the governor can put one over on Republicans for a change, I got to at least applaud the effort, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. At least it's, you know, it's funding for schools. It's not 4 centuries of tax cuts.
So what I would perceive these lame duck Republicans, because all of them are going to be on the ballot next year, right? A proposed constitutional amendment would bar governors from using a partial veto to increase any tax or fee. Now, why didn't they have any of these wants or desires to rein in the veto under the wanker?
Yeah, that's a great question,
Michael. Scott Walker was wrecking governance. You know, I set that aside for now. A similar amendment, Dom, was proposed in 2019 after Evers used his veto authority to steer an additional $65 million to Wisconsin schools. How dare he send an additional $65 million to the kids in the schools, Dom? Here is what it says. We narrowly crafted this from the proposal's authors. Yeah. We narrowly crafted this legislation. Narrowly! To address the specific situations that we believe the members of the public would find the most egregious, the ability for a single person to create or raise taxes and fees on our citizens with a single stroke of a pen. Well, that person is the duly elected governor, and that power through the Frankenstein veto has always been there, but always objectionable when the other team's got that pen, right, Dom?
Absolutely.
And it's your boy, Senator Dan Knodel, Republican from Germantown, along with Reps Amanda Nedweski, Republican from President Blary. Amanda, if you gain more notoriety for anything other than being gerrymandered in a district, they'll learn how to say your name. Joel Kitchens, Republican Sturgeon Bay, and your buddy Shea Sortwell.
Sortwell? That guy?
Two Rivers.
That was the one whose contribution to his constituency was singing at the Capitol. And Joel Kitchens, wasn't he the guy who said, I've done thousands of ultrasounds on farm animals.
So he's a veterinarian.
I know more about, you know, this than women do.
I saw some that would imply that Joel Kitchens could only have those opinions about women due to the gerrymandering of Wisconsin legislative
districts.
Interesting. And again, the fact that these maps will change, I think, will cause a lame duck scenario for so many of these people, Dom. So once again, they're taking after Tony Evers, much like they did after Wanker lost. They're looking to hamstring the man. They're looking to change how Wisconsin is governed, but only when the other team's in charge. You know, do they ever tire of being hypocrites?
No, of course not. You know, you have to have shame to appreciate the hypocrisy, and they have none of that. A little bit more from the end of this piece, Jesse Poyen at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Quote, if adopted, this amendment would appropriately rebalance power between the executive and the legislature and further restrict the executive from completely rewriting laws that are not representative of the people. Constitutional amendments in Wisconsin must be passed by the legislature in two consecutive legislative sessions and then by voters in a statewide referendum. I don't ever remember Republicans, when they're in charge, where they have the executive power of doing anything to restrict their own power. No, they never do that.
Hell to the no.
No.
Well, that's the way the politics game is played now, but they won't be around for a second session. That's my prediction. The gerrymander soon to be over. The dark days in Wisconsin history, you know, perhaps replaced with more fair and equal, balanced representation.
That's all we're looking for, man, is a fair shot, a fair fight.
Better candidates, better ideas?
No, not at all. Have you met Shea Sortwell?
In fact, I have. All except for this lady, I can't pronounce her name. I've met most of them. 844-967-2789.
Nedweski? Like Nedweski? Nedweski.
You're asking the wrong guy. Do I look like mispronouncer here?
We'll call her Amanda.
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 There's a song about Amanda, isn't there?
A Boston song. All about restricting the powers of the executive branch when it's the Democrats in charge.
I can see why they do it. Because they're big-ass hypocrites, man. There's no consistency in the way they govern. And, of course, this is pettiness because Tony Evers just, what, vetoed their maps proposition. So, well,
and, but you think about
we're going to restrict his veto
of
powers.
Course, but what they have to make come up with these things because they have to run on something. I mean, what if they're
restricting the power of the current Democratic governor? That's
yes.
policy
oh,
platform.
Absolutely, because then he's raising taxes all by himself, right? Oh, we have an abortion plan. It's a 14-week abortion plan. Dubbert Evers, he vetoed it. You know, all these things. Because what if
abortion
they actually
up
done?
To third grade? Right. That's what right. Republicans would accuse these Democrats yes. of.
You know, when I was misbehaving, my uncle used to tell me it's never too late for an abortion. You know,
and he meant it.
He sure did. But what are the legislative victories that the Republicans can run on? Do you think? And I mean, you know, new maps, and if everyone's going to run, what can they possibly run on?
Well, we haven't yet heard from the governor on the newest legislative proposal, these quote unquote middle class tax cuts. And I would say that these Republicans, and again, they've tried to use Tony's words against him. They're trying to hem him in, and I think they make a point in this case. Tony has defined what he would perceive to be a middle-class tax cut. They've used his words to help define the legislative proposal. We can all agree that, you know, the state government shouldn't be sitting on $7 billion annual surpluses. So if some of this money should go back as tax relief, my only question is, will Tony take the tax cut if it's a GOP tax cut? Like, is he that oppositional to them being able to put their names on him? Because
I don't think so.
That would smack of politics.
I don't think he's oppositional to it. I mean, he's already done tax.
He's already signed a couple of Republican budgets,
right? And we know how it works. We got your tax cuts, and Tony will take credit too. Everyone will take credit. Hell, if the legislature passes something and Tony signs it, I mean, that is, by its very definition,
Tony's tax cuts.
Well, it's bipartisan. They both agreed, or all parties agreed to it. And that's okay. That's called governance.
Well, we get that far here in the state of Wisconsin because that is still in question. Tony has not decided, has not publicly made an announcement, but the legislation is passed, my understanding, Dom. So it should be making its way to his desk in the East Chambers. Will Tony sign a Republican proposed tax cut? And should he?
Well, yeah, hell yeah. If he agrees to it, yes.
You always want a tax cut. You are,
who doesn't
you
want a tax
cut? You've got some conservative instincts.
Yeah, come on.
Give me some more money.
Money.
Give me everybody, back my money.
Everybody needs money, Crudy. That's why they call it money.
Yeah, you look a lot like Danny DeVito. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates E. Petty Wednesday, hump day edition. Yeah. Could be some short jokes. Never can tell.
Maybe some fat jokes. We'll see.
We'll see. Better not be. Come back with us because, you know, I'd hate to double dip you, both short and fat.
Don't talk angry. Don't talk angry.
844-967-2789. As long as you don't talk, I don't get angry.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and the Civic Media app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political
right,
commentary
now,
in a top 40 world.
Now we're going to tell you a little story here about the way we like to party. Take you on a trip.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Mas Tequila is some of a theme song for you, Selvia.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
It truly is. Appreciate you listening. And, you know, since we're talking tequila, I would like to point out, I am returning to Las Vegas next week. It's coming up very quickly. I will be in Vegas next Tuesday. That will be the night of the primary event. Nikki Haley apparently in the primary. I've requested the candidate post-primary. I've reached out to her campaign. You know, either her, the governor, or a surrogate. I would expect Governor Haley.
I mean, though. Why not? Of
greatest
course.
Radio show ever.
How could you possibly say no?
I'm not sure that anybody else is asking. Right. Depends on how Nevada goes on Tuesday night. And then next Thursday will be the Nevada caucus. Now, apparently Trump's in the caucus. So I'll be there for that. And somewhere in between, we've been to Vegas a couple times. Now, in fact, our first presidential debate. And, you know, it wasn't the For the Love of Democracy tour 2024 brought to us by Chad's Design Build. Thank you, Chad. That's what's happening now. But Tom, back in 2016, we were just some fresh face cub reporters.
Yeah, man.
That was our first presidential level event. We were there for a Democratic presidential event, a CNN event. We're doing live radio till 6 o'clock. Us and like Swedish public radio. And
not a lot of live radio going
there
on.
There was not a lot of live radio. And then we could hear it through the wall. We heard
at the wind in the shadow of the Trump Hotel Casino.
I thought that was a very bad optic for the Democrats to pick a location at the wind, who's also a Republican, I might add, in the shadow, literally, of the gold gilded
Trump Tower in Vegas. I know, dude. If you were in charge of CNN, we'd have been staying at Circus.
And also, we couldn't get...
We did stay at the Circus.
It was
terrible.
It smelled like an ashtray. I don't recommend it. Even for the budget conscious, you're not going to sleep very well. We didn't sleep a lot that trip, Dom.
Well, it is Las Vegas.
But here's the good news. I did ply you with $43 rounds, just two of us, at the bar at the Wynn. And we were on like our fourth round. And someone said, spin room's open.
Oh, what's a spin room?
And we held up our little credentials and said, can we go in?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. I said, wow. Wow. And Dom, your tongue was already starting to get a little fat. Yeah. And at some point during the course of the evening, you bumped into Hillary Clinton's surrogate, John Podesta. Sort of a famous guy, right? Wasn't he part of the whole Wiki...
Yes,
leaks
he got
and all
hacked.
That stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was before those halcyon days of the WikiLeaks. That happened at the DNC convention. We had Kenneth Fogel that day.
Yeah.
Like the day he got in trouble for, anyways. We're at the Wynn. Dom's four drinks in. He's got a brandy sifter full of tequila. And he's walked up to the press gaggle with John Podesta. John Podesta in the news today.
Yeah, short guy. John Podesta in the news today.
Short guy. Look at you.
I know. He was like literally my height, but he's a little skinny guy. New York Times reporting that Joe Biden, the president, picks John Podesta to be his new global climate representative. John.
That's great.
Making
he's the
big.
New John Kerry.
Yes, he is.
But that night, at the Wynn, in the spin room, they're surrogating on behalf of Hillary Clinton. Yep. You, tequila sifter in hand. And I noted, Dom, we were the only fine press members at the bar. Because we were done with our show. We thought we were done for the evening.
We were done working, yeah.
You know, spin room opportunity. How could we not take it? Bernie was there. No Hillary in the room, but there was that Jim Webb guy. Who? I heard he killed a man.
He was in and out quick.
It was very quick. George O'Malley, Governor O'Malley from Maryland, I believe, and John Podesta on behalf of the Hillary campaign. And you ambled up to Podesta and turned your sifter at tequila and started asking him about Hillary's marijuana policies.
Well, because remember, this was CNN, right? And they had the booths outside, and you could walk in and ask any question, you know, with a recording and submit it. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that was the question out there that I posed, and now I had an opportunity to ask John Podesta, a surrogate for Hillary Clinton, about her legal marijuana policy. And
you repeated your photo booth experience. You put the quarter in first.
Yes.
And
got it out, you know, practiced a minute, and then had a couple of drinks and asked John.
More than a couple.
Let's play my question to John Podesta back in the day.
John, a lot of talk about justice system reform. Secretary Clinton has said she does not support the legalization of recreational marijuana.
Maybe a little.
Bernie Sanders has said he does. What does Secretary Clinton need to have happen before she would support that?
I think what she said is that she supports medical marijuana. She wants to see the state efforts to play out. People will have that opportunity to decide that in Nevada, to see they've been in place now just a little over a year, I guess, maybe a year, to see what the effect is, and then she'll render a judgment. But right now she wants to let the states experiment with this, in the meantime, try to move more broadly and nationally to legalize medical marijuana.
Legalize medical marijuana. But here's the point. It's not to criticize Hillary. This policy, A, she's not the nominee. That's Joe Biden. B, this was 8 years ago. A lot of advancement on the topic of legalized marijuana.
Yeah,
everywhere.
It was still a crappy answer back then. We should never have been illegal. It's always the wrong answer, but please continue.
Well, here in the state of Wisconsin, it still is. By good fortune, Dom, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to legal marijuana in Nevada next week. Going to Planet 13. You've been there before.
That's a huge shop, man.
Biggest dispensary in the world.
That's fantastic.
I'll drop a few shekels there, I suspect. And I'll enjoy my time in Vegas. And you can consume as long as you're discreet, because it is a legal marijuana state, Tom. But I would like to point out for those, and I'm going to have to describe this because you can't see me. But again, Dom, with the brandy sifter full of clear liquid that happened to be Blanco tequila, Mas tequila. You still had a lot, you know, because I was getting doubles. $43. We were both drinking doubles.
Yeah, they were pouring them strong. And for that kind of price, they should
strong. It was straight tequila, man. How much stronger can you pour? What, are you looking for Everclear in a glass?
It's volume. It's all about the volume.
But for those that can only hear the sound of John Podesta, and I can tell you, I was there to witness up close and personal John Podesta, this interaction between Dom and Podesta. And before Podesta answered, there was just a momentary pause there in the tape. I don't know if you noted, but Podesta cocked his head at sifter level to look at this guy that's, and you're circling it in the glass. You're like making sure it breathes. So I mean, I can smell your tequila breath from the memory.
It's like a wine connoisseur. I'm a kind of a sewer.
Kind of a sewer? Well, Podesta did answer your question, but I'm sure he's wondering to this day, who the hell let that guy in?
Yeah, right? I'm still wondering who the hell let us in.
Who credentialed us? Who let us in the spin room? I'm not clear, but I hope the Haley campaign has some sort of a public-facing event for me to go crash next week. Still in the story earlier today, I called into a fine radio show. Talked about the time we crashed Scott Walker's party.
Yes.
Tuskers on the River. Remember that time?
Yes.
Drink Scott Walker's
beer. We drank
beer.
Scott Walker's beer. Yeah, he was crying in his, I think. It was a little diluted.
2016 at the RNC. Got some stories. Got to tell the grandkids someday.
Oh, man, it's been a while, man. We've been on the road a long time.
Yeah. Rode hard, put away wet, and lots of tequila for you. That stuff. I can smell your breath just from last night. Right now, I just imagine that tequila. I think I can see the waves coming out. So, anyways, little John Podesta story, trying to bring it personal. Come back with us. We'll get to the phones, 844-967-2789. And also, a Wall Street Journal op-ed calling Tony Evers a radical.
What?
Hardly. More Devils.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A deadly construction accident in Boise. An aircraft hangar being built at the Boise Airport collapsed. 3 people killed, 9 more injured. Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
There was a large-scale collapse of the building, the framework of the building. I don't know what caused it. But I can tell you that it was a pretty global collapse that occurred. The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
Of the 9 people injured, 5 are on hospital critical lists. Voting 357-70, the House passed a $79 billion package of tax cuts, expanding the child care tax credit, but not at pandemic levels, and restoring three corporate tax cuts. In Manchester, New Hampshire, a woman putting out her trash fell into the dumpster, which was promptly dumped into a garbage truck. Neighbors heard her screams. There was a camera in the trash compartment. The woman was rescued. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Dental therapists can now start practicing in Wisconsin. They can fill cavities, do oral exams, and pull some teeth. Governor Evers is also signing off on new money to boost oral care training in Wisconsin's technical colleges and incentives for Marquette University dental students to practice in underserved areas. Governor Evers is standing by Tuesday's veto of legislative maps passed by Republican state lawmakers last week.
It's important to make sure that people have, you know, good maps, to make sure that we have competitive races, all that stuff. But what I vetoed is was not in that vein.
Redistricting will likely be settled by the state Supreme Court in a few weeks. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see patchy fog developing in the overnight, partly cloudy skies and lows right near the freezing mark. So be wary of some slippery spots first thing Thursday morning. Otherwise, plenty of clouds across the area. Highs in the upper 30s, close to the 40-degree mark. Record highs possible. Currently 35 degrees.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
I want to tell you a story about the house in blue.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A lot of songs about your life, Tom.
Yeah.
Not a lot of songs.
It's pretty fun.
They all involve partying.
It's weird how that happens.
It is a political party up in here, and we appreciate when you join the party. 844-967-2789. A patient Jack from the Merrimack Welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, couple of things. First of all, the Republicans want a middle class tax cut. Here's a good way to get it. They already gave unlimited, basically, because I don't think there are any limits on it. $3,000 per student welfare payment to private schools. They should do the same thing out of the surplus to public schools. And instead of, in their generosity, allowing school districts to float referenda so that they can actually pay their teachers. That would be a sure way to cut property taxes, because there are dozens, if not over 100 at this point, school districts that have already had to float referenda to do that.
Yeah,
a lot of school districts facing fiscal cliffs, my understanding, Jack, recent reporting I saw. And, you know, I knew a school administrator, and he went up to the Capitol and he met with then legislative leader Scott Fitzgerald and Robin Voss. And Fitzgerald was very proud to tell them, we've done this on purpose. We continue to underfund education because you can always raise your own taxes through referendum. But they, as a strategy, enjoyed forcing these local communities to raise their own taxes, Jack, because you could never blame them.
Yeah, that's not surprising, because it's been decades that the Republican Party has systematically sought to undercut education in Wisconsin. I mean, look at the number of UW system schools that are closing, and they're people that are going to these schools there might be a few less than what they have been in the past. Part of that probably is the fact that tuitions keep going up and up and up. And another part of it is a fluctuation probably in the student population. But that's another issue. They're not only underfunding public K-12 schools, but the entire UW university system. And by the way, this DEI $36 million cut, that's just, the DEI is a bunch of bunk. They know exactly what their purpose is, and their purpose is to undercut the UW system schools as much as they can.
Jack, you make an excellent point. Robin Voss, of course, gave $72 million for a building at UW-Whitewater, which was his alma mater, that wasn't even yet on the list, had made the priority list, but held hostage the engineering school that would turn out 1,000 new engineers at UW each year, held hostage 35,000 UW system employees. And of course, the net result, we've seen people fired at Oshkosh. We've seen the closure of Marinette, UW Green Bay Marinette, UW Richland Center, which somehow got associated with Platteville, and Platteville stopped and basically blocked UW Richland Center from helping themselves, doing recruitment efforts. I mean, that's what you do. You don't have enough students, you go out and recruit. Oh, no, we want those students going to Platteville because you're a sub chapter of us now. Well, what do you know? One survived and it wasn't.
Man. Listen, they're the
extension
Republicans,
at Richland Center.
You're too critical, Crudy, what you're totally avoiding, and Jack touched on it. Well, of course, they're fine giving the money to those voucher schools, right? To religious indoctrination. We're funding students to go to religious schools that where they're taught that the earth is 6,000 years old, right? And that's okay. They're totally down with funding that, expanding that. Let's do more of that. But traditional public schools, oh no, that's a big problem. You got to raise your own taxes.
844-967-2789. Mike from Spring Green. Welcome, Mike. What do you got?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I'm just here to help. I love the show, and I'm just here to help, so I'm not criticizing. But
sounds like criticism, Mike.
Where's the but? But let us have it.
I said but you interrupted me. Anyway, I've been a writer for 30 years, and as a result, I'm a proofreader. I am proof listener, and it's driving me crazy here. While you might sift your medical marijuana, you drink your brandy from a snifter, not a sifter. You don't sift your brandy.
Well, it was tequila specifically. Really... So what do you call the glass you put the tequila in?
A glass.
Oh. Fancy.
I'm sorry. My wife...
It's a snifter?
Tell me I'm a nerd.
It is a snifter with an snifter. N, yes. Would you say sifter?
Yeah, like, I'm sorry.
Is that because you literally can stick your nose in it like Dom was doing and John Podesta tried to do?
Snifter.
That's very possible, but with flour you sift it, you know, but I'm sorry. I'm really, that makes me a nerd. I realize.
No,
that.
Man, we appreciate it, Mike. You know, it's occasionally happens once in a while. Crudy says something wrong.
That doesn't make you a nerd. It makes you a banned caller. Teasing, Mike. You can call back. I occasionally make up my own words.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes. Yeah, words get made up all the time, man.
By me.
I dubbed the sifter.
That's what it sounded like when you said it full of fat tequila tongue in Vegas. Curry, another sifter.
Come on, man. I mean, a sifter. I mean, that's flour. You're not much of a baker, though, are you?
A baker? No. I cook, unlike yourself. I do cook more than you. I drink less than you, probably.
Everybody cooks more than me.
And drinks less than you. I'm pretty sure on this math.
That might be true.
I've done the over-under with you. 844-967-2789. Op-ed. I mentioned it. Governor Tony Evers. I would say the right wing, at least their media sources, they're trying to label Tony a radical on abortion. And as Paul Fadlin says, Governor Tony Evers is a radical on abortion, ? Please.
Please.
I'll read a little of his column. Wall Street Journal's news stories have always played it pretty straight, but the editorial pages have devolved during the Donald Trump years. A lot of things have. Its opinions have moved from supporting traditional Republican doctrines, you know, like trickle-down economics. And minimal social service spending to something approaching full-throated MAGA, presumably to remain relevant for a more extreme and anti-democratic party. To wit, the online version of an editorial last week pictured Governor Tony Evers, Wisconsin's Democratic governor, in all of his bespeckled earnestness. His words, not mine, Tony. The accompanying headline was, "Who's radical on abortion now? ? The Journal was carrying water for Republicans who run the Wisconsin legislature and whose leaders are desperate to stank electoral
stanch? S-T-A-N-C-H.
I need a vocabulary lesson. Where's Mike from Spring Green?
Right.
Desperate to stanch electoral bleeding that began when Roe v. Wade was overturned in 22. Putting abortion access in jeopardy in Wisconsin and many other states.
Weren't you a medic in the Army, man?
I never stanched anything.
Yeah, man, that's what you do. That's what it's called. Or stop or reflect the flow of blood from a wound.
That's stanching?
No, it's snifting.
We always just put pressure on. Lots of pressure.
And morphine.
Oh, absolutely. A guy like you, I'd have filled you so full of morphine, you'd have... Never had to worry about going back to work again, Dom.
Thanks, Gertie.
Why don't you read?
All right. Paul Fadlin, Cap Times. They recognize that post-Roe outrage among women and younger voters helped Evers comfortably win re-election later that year, and State Supreme Court Justice Janet Prosser was to gain a landslide victory in 2013. To fight back, State Assembly Republicans recently passed a bill that would permit abortion after 14 weeks of pregnancy if voters approved the measure in a statewide referendum. Would prohibit abortion after 14 weeks if they approved a statewide referendum. Evers instantly said he would veto the bill if it passes the state Senate. Democrats want to keep exploiting the issue rather than reach a political and social consensus, said the Journal's pearl-clutching editorial. The legality of abortion in Wisconsin is currently mired in litigation. A Dane County judge ruled last year that a ban on feticide enacted in 1849 does not actually prohibit modern-day abortions, and there is almost zero chance the now liberal-leaning state Supreme Court will overturn that ruling. State Rep. Lisa Subek, a Democrat from Madison, summed up the reproductive choice position on the 14-week bill during the assembly debate. Politicians have no place in making deeply personal decisions for women in Wisconsin, she said, as quoted in the Cap Times. Quote, I don't want to see anybody on that side of the aisle, or this side of the aisle for that matter, in my physician's office when I'm making reproductive health care decisions, Subic said. I don't want my neighbors making those decisions for me. I don't want people across the state making those decisions for me. Hell yeah, Subic. The same article quoted Scott Allen, and this one got me, Crudy, a Republican representative from Waukesha. Here's what Mr. Allen had to say. It's not about who makes the decisions. It's about what is right and what is wrong. It's not your body. It's a body within your body, unquote.
I'm sure that's going to go over well.
Pause on that, Fanlon says. Pause on that just for a moment. Let me reread it.
Please.
Scott Allen, a Republican from Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Didn't Big Ugly work for him for a while?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's not about who makes the decisions. It's about what is right and what is wrong. It's not your body. It's a body within your body. One hopes that women and men, too, who cherish reproductive freedoms are listening. This is the essence of what Republicans, especially Republican men, really think. It's not your body. Republican effort to pass the bill and seek a referendum is connected to conservatives losing control of the state Supreme Court after more than 15 years of far-right ownership. Many Republicans, perhaps most, would prefer an outright 1849 ban, at least in the way that they interpret the law. Current bill sponsor Rep. Amanda Nadusky from Pleasant Prairie, Amanda, told reporters it was a sad reality that the outright abortion ban was not possible. A sad reality, Amanda. Republicans only support public input now because the high court can't be trusted, quote unquote, to handle the issue. The current majority on the state's highest court have already usurped the constitutional authority of the people, duly elected representative in other cases, she said. Pause on that as well. The laugh-out-loud hypocrisy is how the former high court, the one controlled by conservatives, condoned the most extreme gerrymandering of political maps anywhere in the United States. But it is this court, the one that became center-left in a landslide election last year, that cannot be trusted. The GOP legislature's abortion gambit is as cynical as most everything else it does. Democrat Subic said in an interview with me, again, Paul Fanlon at the Cap Times, that the irony on abortion is that while Republicans are trying to mitigate electoral damage caused by their anti-abortion zealotry, those efforts are also causing a divide among Republicans. She said legislative records reveal that it was Assembly Speaker Robin Voss who initiated the abortion bill, and now leaders, including Voss, face significant blowback from anti-abortion absolutists. Absolutist scrutiny. Subic noted that only 53 of 64 Republicans supported the bill in the Assembly, and the no votes were cast by the abortion extremists. Subic said Voss and Republican leaders are playing what she called a weird political game by trying to appear moderate. Those are stupid games people play, she added. The resulting divisions are becoming visible. Wisconsin abortion bill hearing highlights divides among the procedure's opponents, reads the headline from a courthouse news service story describing the hearing before the Assembly vote. Most of the testimony against the bill, the story said, came from anti-abortion groups and individuals. A quote, representatives of the Heal Without Harm Coalition, a group comprised of the Wisconsin Catholic Conference and anti-abortion groups Pro-Life Wisconsin, Wisconsin Family Action, and Wisconsin Right to Life, joined with several anti-abortion individuals to sharply criticize Republican legislators for contemplating an alternative to a total abortion ban. The killing of a healthy child in her mother's womb is illegal in Wisconsin, said Jack Hugendike, legislative and policy director at the Wisconsin Family Action and former Republican legislator in Michigan. Please don't water down one of the best laws in the United States protecting the unborn, he said, referring to the 1849 ban. The article said opponents of the bill, in summary, defeatist, amoral, and a politically unsound. Subic said Republican leaders appear to be recognizing that consistently trying to appease an extremist base makes it difficult to win general elections. Abortion access is mainstream health care, and the governor is solidly in that mainstream, she added. Yes, one side in Wisconsin politics is indeed radical. It's not the one led by Tony Evers. Paul Fanlon at the Cap Times, rip it on the Wall Street Journal editorials.
You know, I had something to say about Amanda Nudick stanching your wound from a snifter.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you participate at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, there's a story about Wisconsin's third CD representative.
Oh, great.
You're drinking, buddy. Derek Van Orden.
Again, this guy?
I suspect he also a fan of the Mas Tequila.
Oh, man, I think he likes everything.
Republican mocked for sharing nonsensical post in Elizabeth Warren attack.
You know, anytime I see like a headline like that, first thing goes in my mind these days,
Derek Van Orden. Yeah, a Republican congressman is being ridiculed online after he used a sham website in an attempt to shame Senator Elizabeth Warren. Rep. Derek Van Orden, Republican from Wisconsin. You know, if you live in the third, he's yours.
Congratulations.
Wednesday responded to Warren's message, Tax the Rich, by sharing a website that listed her net worth at $75 million, Dom.
Ooh.
And her height as United States Senator.
Now, how tall is that? I mean, we stood next to Elizabeth Warren in Florida. Remember? It's down
yes. Homestead.
Homestead, Florida.
Well, then she got in a little stair stool. She was always taller than you.
No, she's about my height, too.
Maybe. Okay, Derek Van Orden declared, you versed. You know, because he's accusing her of being rich.
$75 million he found on some fake website.
And apparently the height of a United States senator.
Well, which is appropriate because, of course, she is a United States senator.
It's not clear who was the first to tell Van Orden that a website that lists Warren's height as United States senator might not have its facts straight.
Ah, facts, Max. It's all about impressions and you know, feelings.
Those eager to make the correction were CNN investigative reporter Andy Kaczynski, Vanity Fair's Brian Stettler, and MSNBC commentator Keith Olbermann. He's not with them anymore. Her height is listed as U.S. Senator, Olbermann said. You added, addled, fascist moron. That's only listed height, though, said Ben Jacobs. Her actual height could be closer to a United States representative.
I mean, come on, man.
Others were quick to point out the slight math problem with Warren's listed salary in the post of $400,000 and an annual salary of $6 million.
Well, how does that work?
Even if you make $400,000 a month, you don't make $6 million per year, noted Elijah Watson. So your source, I don't think, is the most trusted I've seen. Is he talking about Van Orden or Van Orden's original sourcing?
I mean, they're kind of one and the same.
A better source for Warren's worth might have been her tax returns, which the Massachusetts senator publishes annually. In 2022, Dom, Warren and her husband, Bruce, listed an annual income of $1.1 million. I have looked it up, Dom. Apparently, her net worth around $12 million. And
yeah, but what site was that on?
I thought it was the New York Times, but you know, you never can tell. It could have been on one of those height U.S. senator sites.
I did see that number also confirmed on finance.yahoo.com. $12 million.
How much do you think Derek Van Orden's worth? Because, you know, pop, you know, and they say there's no bad publicity.
Yeah, there is.
But I would think this, for you, Derek Van Orden, this attack on Elizabeth Warren for being rich, Well, this has got to be priceless for your campaign.
Doesn't it go to show you the character of a guy like Derek Van Orden, who's just so eager to troll, you know, find something that, you know, he thinks is going to make him go viral. He is truly representative of the mega community right now. I mean, look at all the QAnon stuff, all this, you know, vaccines and microchips and all, whatever, man. Are you kidding me? I mean, really, are you kidding me? And number one, $12 million as a net worth is still a lot of money. And yeah, if Elizabeth Warren and many folks in Senate are rich, if they're advocating for higher taxes, you know what? They would also pay those higher taxes. So I'm not even sure.
Even the argument he's making is asinine at best.
At best. You first. Okay.
I bet she does pay her taxes. Hence the publishing of her annualized taxes. That's the process by which one pays one's taxes. Contrast that with Donald Trump.
Well, only the suckers pay taxes. But again, it's hard to understand the credibility. He has no credibility. When you do things like this, you lose credibility. Whatever credibility you may have, it continues to go down when you continue to be like Derek Van Orden. You know, the judgment matters in these situations, right? You're representing, 700,000 people, something like that? This is the guy, Wisconsin's 3rd District? This is the guy whose judgment you trust? This is the guy you want representing you? Oh, man, get him out of there. It's embarrassing.
Should we scrutinize the reported net worth of Derek Van Orden?
Well, I mean, if you have it in front of you, let's talk about it.
According to the Badger Project, a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism in Wisconsin, the reported, and they put parentheses, net worth of U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden, Republican from Western Wisconsin. Former Navy SEAL Van Orden first joined the U.S. House in 22, nearly defeating his Democratic challenger, Brad Paff, right? In a Western Wisconsin swing district, Van Orden sits on committees overseeing agriculture, transportation, and infrastructure and veterans affairs. And Van Orden reports no income on his report. Maybe that's where his, you know, big problem with other people that actually have jobs. Reports no income on his report. The congressman and his wife live on his military pension after more than 20 years of service and on payments for his 100% disability rating from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. So he's basically living on the government dole, right?
I'm not saying
he didn't earn it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Benefits from federal retirement programs and disability payments from the federal government need not be reported, according to rules of the U.S. House Ethics Committee. So he doesn't have to make financial reports, apparently, Dom. And that's it. That's the entirety of the reported net worth. He reports no income.
I found this one at investortimes.com, and I have not verified the site. They say his estimated net worth is approximately $1.5 million.
Yeah, but what's his height?
Well, I mean, obviously, he's a U.S. congressman. That's how tall he is.
Yes.
Yeah, and the weight? I mean, it's hard to tell, but I think it's insurrectionist. That's how much he weighs.
He's probably carrying some extra beer weight. A little puffy this winter, Derek Van Orden. He's kind of short as well. You, as a shorter person.
Yeah.
Who drinks a lot. You guys have some things in common.
You got a Master of Science degree in education from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse?
When was he in La Crosse?
I don't know. That's what it says. Investor Time.
I would have seen him in the bars for sure.
Don't believe everything you read, folks, but believe the devil's advocates. Come back with us. 844-967-2789. The Happier Happy Hour is next.
Always sourced from a tequila bottle.
I drink and I know things.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder.
metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard.